Thank you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
Somebody say, we are sons. We are daughters of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read there. We'll begin there in just a second at verse 16. And then we're going to, you know, keep your Bibles open this morning. And Jacob, just track with me. I gave Jacob a whole bunch of verses because I'm going to tell you, I know I've said this before, but this very well could be one of the most significant messages I've ever brought here at our Father's house. And I truly, truly, truly believe that if we'll get revelation of what I'm going to speak to you today, that it's just going to revolutionize your life. A lot of this is going to, I'm going to take my time, and some of it, quite a bit of it, is going to be like teaching. But we need to hear what God's going to say to us. And I promise you, we're going to, you know, and this, when I say teaching to the point, I thought, well, God, I'll just bring this on Wednesdays. Well, God said, no, everybody needs to hear it. You know, there are some that can't be here on Wednesday. Some that just don't want to come on Wednesday. Come on now, is anybody with me? But this is something that everybody needs to hear. Somebody say amen. Say, I receive it. Before we read our text, we're going to talk just a little bit about adoption. You remember we've been talking about sons? We've been talking about sons of God. And just hold up a second, Jake, before you put the text up there. We've been talking about sons of God. Now, in Romans 8, it talks about that we're not in bondage of fear. We're not slaves. Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba. Everybody say Abba. We cry, Abba, Father, because we are adopted. Somebody say, I'm adopted. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit. You have to understand that you are part of the family of God. I said you have to understand that you are part of the family of God. Now, at this point, we should be getting that revelation. So what we're getting ready to do now is we're getting ready to transition into, okay, and you was kind of mentioning it when you opened up this morning, we're going to start transitioning into what it means, what it means to become a son or a daughter, what it means, what that entails, what comes with that. First of all, you should start acting like the Father. Now, when you're adopted, let's talk about adoption just to say. You understand that even though you take a child that's born to its, you know, has his biological parents, but then you take a child that's born into a family, but if that child is taken from that family and adopted, at some point, oftentimes that child will take on the attributes of the adopted parents. Amen? You know, I was adopted. You know, my mother passed away when I was 17 months old. My earthly father died when I was 4 years old. And I was adopted. I was adopted by my mother's sister and her husband. Their names were Otis and Sarah Kara. I was actually named after my uncle by marriage. There you go. So you guys know my real name. It's over now, ain't it? But I was named after him. He ended up raising me. And I want to tell you something. He has one of his daughters one of his daughters is sitting right back there. And they had two daughters of their own, and they ended up raising a whole bunch more of us. My mother had seven boys and one girl. And I was the baby. I'm still the baby. But they adopted me. My adopted parent, whom we referred to, most everybody called Pap. The values, Randy, some of you guys knew him. The values that he instilled in me, and I picked up the things that he did, and how he prayed, and how he lived for God. And see, so you take on, and you guys are adopted, so you should be taking on the attributes of your father. That's what it means to be adopted. I mean, you start acting. That's part of adoption. In fact, you know, you start watching them and you start acting like them. Amen. So So I want to tell you something. As sons and daughters, what we're going to do is we're going to transition into what that means. And don't just sit there and say, well, thank God I'm a son or a daughter. You need to understand what it means to be a son or a daughter and how that should change your life. Oh, man. Adoption. You know, Paul wrote oftentimes from Roman culture when he wrote about can I take my time this morning? When he wrote about the armor of the Lord, put you on the whole armor, he was looking at a Roman soldier. When he was talking about adoption, Randy, in Roman culture, this was primarily adult adoption. Amen? And this is what it was the culture that Paul was writing about. Now, here's the deal. If you have no father, you have no future. I promise you, and I don't want to be gloom and doom, but if you don't know who your father is, you're going to continue to struggle. Amen? Are you with me? And you're not going to have any identity. People run around and say they're trying to find themselves. So they didn't realize who they're supposed to be. A son of the Most High. They're still trying to find themselves. You know, we got people that's 30s, 40s, 50s years old. Oh, Jesus. Can I just preach? That's why you see guys that go through a midlife crisis and they got to go out and buy them a little sports car and unbutton their shirt down to here and get them a necklace. Nobody wants to see your gray chest hair. Amen? That's not in my notes, I promise. They're out there trying to find who they are. They're trying to get an identity. But the thing about it is, when you know who you are, you don't look for that in other things. You don't look for that in counterfeit things that try to make you who you are, because you know who you are, and it doesn't matter what else happens around you. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. The adoptee loses or is cut off from all legal rights to the old family, but gains all equivalent rights in the new family. The adoptee becomes the legal heir or joint heir to the wealth of the estate of the new father. Amen? Are you with me? Finally, the old life was completely wiped out in the sense that all debts, both financial and legal, were canceled. No legal charges were to follow him into his new identity. So adoption, which means to place as a son, and do you realize, I didn't know this, pastors, you guys may have studied this in Bible college, but actually in certain situations there, they would even adopt their own son. What were they saying? They were letting everybody know, this is my son, and they would make that statement, this is my son. That's what the Father did when he looked at Jesus and said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. So we're adopted into the family of God, and we're heirs. Come on, we're joint heirs. Somebody say, we're heirs. Come on, say, we're heirs. Now, what comes with that? What comes with that? Now, Jake, put our text up there. I'm trying to get you to understand who you are. How many's ready to take your seat? I said, how many's ready to take your seat? You had a little flyer in your seat, some of the seats this morning, and we're gonna talk about that in a few minutes. Let's read. Thank you, Jake. Wow. Thank you, buddy. Take your seat. Everybody say, take your seat. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus here. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, everybody say Father, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Keep going. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above, everybody say far above. Come on, say it again, say far above. We're going to get that today. We're going to leave here with Revelation. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I'm about to get excited. And has put all things, somebody say all things, under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. One more verse. Which is, come on, say it, which is his body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I know how you spoke this word down into my spirit. And Father, I just pray that you give me clarity of thought and speech. I pray for a supernatural anointing. Father, come on, somebody come to agreement. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon your people today, that people would leave here no longer defeated, no longer condemned, no longer bogged down by jealousy or pride or envy or any of these things that come to defeat us as your sons and daughters. We speak revelation today in this room. Come on, somebody's got to come into agreement, because I'm not, this word has to go out, and we have to receive this word today, and we're going to be changed in the name of Jesus. Somebody speak it. Somebody say it's done in Jesus' name, and the entire church says amen. Amen. Now, although this was Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus, it's applicable to us today because it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit inspired. Now in verse 17 there, Jake, just track with me. In verse 17, it talks about wisdom and revelation. Now I'm just going to teach you just for a moment. I want you to get what God's going to speak to us. If we get the revelation of knowing that we are sons and daughters, if we hear that and you say, okay, Pastor, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High, but don't fully understand what comes with being a son or a daughter, what good is it? Amen? Well, I'm just sitting here and I'm a son. If you don't know what your father has and what he has available to you, and then you're missing the whole point. Amen? Is anybody with me? So we have to get revelation of what happens, and we have to know what belongs to us. The scripture says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now it don't do any good if you have the truth, but you don't really know the truth. And the biggest thing that the enemy does, the biggest thing he wants to do, is he doesn't want God's people to know the truth. But once you know the truth, that's going to set you free. Oh, hallelujah. People, you're saying, Pastor, we're sitting here, we've been in church for a long time. I'm sorry, there's people sitting in the church pew, it's been in the church pew for years, that are not free. I said, we need to be free. You shall know the truth, and I'm preaching you the truth, and I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to make sons and daughters. I'm on a mission to make people that's going to sit down with God. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. So we must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to grow. Somebody, let's pray that prayer. God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to have that, and it has to come through spirit revelation. Listen, you can't get this through your intellect. It can't come through intellect. It has to come through the spirit. Now, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, high places, against rulers of darkness. So it tells us, Sarah, we don't wrestle. My wrestle is not with Brandon, thank God. He would kill me. My wrestle's not with flesh and blood. But it says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But you got to understand, we'll quote that verse, we're wrestling against principalities and powers, but the writer says here that God we're far above. Oh, y'all ain't getting that. We are far above. The church is supposed to be far above all principalities if we're acting as sons. How many believes Jesus is above all principality and power? Come on, right now. How many believes he's above all? How many believes there's not a power? Oh, glory. How many believes there's not a power? I'm telling you, I'm trying to get you there. I'll get you there in a few minutes. Just bear with me. God's dropped some things down into my spirit, And I'm going to preach it, amen, and I'm going to declare it. And God's people, I'm speaking right now. I'm about to throw this mic away and just take off running. God's people are going to rise up. I'm speaking that a church is not going to be a beat down, the devil smashed you in the head church, and you're just saying, you know, it's time to start looking. You know what God told me? He said, it's time to quit looking for the devil and see how big the devil is. It's time to start see how big God is, because he lives within you, and there's not a devil in hell that can defeat you if you walk in what God has given you, because Jesus defeated him. I said, Jesus defeated him. How many believes when he said it is finished, he meant it was a completed work, that he took care of business, Pastor Justin? And how many believes all we have to do is just enforce the victory that Jesus already won? How many believes every devil in hell has been defeated by Jesus? I said, he took him on in the garden. He defeated him in the garden. Amen. All right, let's go. We have to always, we should, you know, our combat, our spiritual battle, now hear me. We'll take my time here. I want you to hear this. Our spiritual battle should always be with the consciousness that we have authority over him because he's a defeated foe. If you go in with your fingers crossed, you're going to lose. Come on now. We need some, is anybody with me? We need some people to rise up. In fact, I think there's some people here today that need to take authority over some things in your home. Amen? Christ defeated him for us. The authority belongs to us. Somebody say authority belongs to me. Amen? Now, Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, everybody say all, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Somebody say heavenly places. Now let's go back to verse 17 of our text. Look at verse 17 of our text. Take us back there, Jacob. Ephesians 1. Oh, we're going to preach here in a minute. I'm going to get you guys to help me. Get ready, pastors. You guys are going to help me. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. Come on, say it again. It's, you got to get this. In Christ. Come on, say it. It's not in the pastor. It's not in the denomination. It's not in the church building. It's not in, come on now. It's not in Pentecostal, Baptist, and Methodist, Presbyterian, and all that stuff. It's not in religion. It's not in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when you have church. Not, it's in Christ. Come on, somebody say it. It's in Christ. I said it's in him. And we got to get back to preaching him and who he is. Authority belongs to us whether we realize it or not, because it's in Christ. And Christ lives in you. When Christ came into you, you got authority. I said when Christ came into you, you got authority. Okay, how many believes Christ has authority? Okay, how many can say he's living in you? Okay, if Christ is authority and Christ is power and he's living in you, okay, what's in you? Power and authority. Now listen, power without authority is no good. Oh man, I tell you, there's so much stuff here, but I'm going to get you there. We have to know what belongs to us. We have to have knowledge of it. When we get that revelation, instead of the enemy dominating us, we dominate him. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of allowing him to dominate me. It's time for us to dominate him. Come on now. I said it's time for us to dominate him. Luke 10:19. Jacob put Luke 10:19 up here. Look what this says. Behold, I give unto you power. Now, here's the deal. It says, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And, you know, when he's talking about serpents and scorpions, he's just talking about demonic. Everything that comes from hell, you have power over it. And over all, everybody say all. Now, there's actually, oh, you got to get this. Over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you look this, if you study this verse, there's two Greek words here for the word power. Two different Greek words. The first one really should be interpreted in some versions. Your Bible, in fact, may read that way. Some versions say authority. I give unto you authority. It's not your power, it's his power, but he's given you authority to use it. Now, notice it says, and over all power of the enemy. The enemy don't have authority any longer. He just has power. Illegal. He tries to operate in illegal authority. I'm going to get you there in a second. So here's the deal. Authority is delegated power. God is saying, I'm giving my power unto you. I'm giving you the authority to use my power. So authority is delegated power. And you have to see the value of our authority rests on the power that is behind the user. You know, it's like, you know, I've used this illustration before, but I want to use it again. It's like when, you know, if the traffic light goes out, if the power goes out down here at Pinewood, this intersection. This is a busy intersection for this area, 25E right here. You know, it's a lot of traffic goes through. If the power goes out, they stick a police officer out there, and he's directing traffic, and he's letting this traffic go, and he's stopping this traffic. Okay, the thing is, when people pull up to that intersection, they recognize that that policeman has authority, delegated authority to him by the government, so people are going to stop, and they know that, oh, y'all ain't hearing this. They know that if they don't stop, they're going to be in trouble. Now, you throw me out there, just like I'm dressed, and they're going to blow their horns at me, and they're going to look at me, they're going to drive by and say, this man's an idiot. And they'll be yelling things out the window and everything else, but when you see, oh, y'all ain't getting it. When you see the policeman in his uniform and his badge on his uniform, you're going to stop. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. People say, I'm just trying to be strong. Bless God, God never told you to try to be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord. And you see, when we operate in who he is and the authority in us because of who he is, we have the authority to tell the devil to stop. I said, we have the authority to make him stop. You better know what you're operating in. Amen. And we'll stop for the policeman. Tom and I, we went through 21 weeks of training in Beckley, West Virginia. We traveled that road, and you know we're authorized representatives of the federal government. We have badges. You have your badge? Tom don't have his badge. I don't have mine either. But we actually, that gives us access to places we could go in. And they recognize, you got to hear me now. They recognize the authority that we have. We were traveling back to Beckley, West Virginia one time. I'm just going to tell it, Tom. I was driving. It wasn't Tom. I was driving. We're running late. I'm going through Bluefield, West Virginia. How many's ever been through there? How many knows they don't mess around? Tom knows. All of a sudden, they pulled me over. The policeman pulled me over. Yeah, I was speeding. Not much, but I was speeding. You don't take much. It don't take much in Virginia. I wasn't driving recklessly, does it? It don't take much in Virginia. I mean, they'll pull you over, man. These folks live in Virginia. They know. What it is, especially if they see an out-of-state plate, you know, we're in our personal vehicle and they see an out-of-state Kentucky plate and they're like, hey, there's somebody from Kentucky. We'll get their money. You mean because they hate you? No. They know this is where Christ is from. The big blue nation. So this guy pulls me over and Tom's like, show him your badge. So I showed him my badge, my license, you know, identification. He says, I'll be right back. He comes back in just a few minutes and shows me the ticket. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he didn't recognize that authority. Sorry, pal. It don't work here. I'm happy for you. But here's your ticket. So what I'm saying is, if we don't realize who we, and, oh, I'm trying to get a message to you. How many knows a biting dog knows when you're afraid? We had some people that used to live next door to us, our neighbors. And they had these two German Shepherd dogs. One was black, one was white. And we caught the school bus. This is back when kids caught the school bus by themselves. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, you know, things are different now. But we used to walk up on the road and catch the school bus. And the family lived next to us. They had a whole bunch of kids. They had these two German Shepherd dogs. And we'd get off the bus, and you had to come down our driveway, you know, and they lived just next door to us. And these German Shepherd dogs would sit up on the porch. They were loose outside. And I was terrified by those dogs. And they'd perk their ears up. And I'm telling you, they used to say that I could hit the front porch of our house before the bus pulled out. Because I'd run, Wesley. I'd run down that driveway. And you know, and one day, oh, y'all got to get this. One day, this guy went home with me from school. And we're getting off the bus, and, you know, we're, I don't know, you know, fourth, fifth grade, whatever. And Elder James, we get off the bus, and we're going down the driveway, and I'm like, better get ready, let's go. And we gotta run, man, we got to go. And I start running, and I look back, and he's not running. But you know what he's doing? He's picking up a rock. And here comes the German Shepherd dogs, and when they get about from here to that window, I'm telling you, son, he was peeling her head with that rock. And you know what? Next thing I know, I looked and the dogs are running. You know, I heard one preacher say we need to get the devil on the run, but the problem is sometimes he's running, but he's running after us. We need to turn him around. We need to put him on the run. Amen. It's time for us to realize who we are as sons and daughters, and we have that authority. Amen. Amen. You have the authority. I said you have the authority. Amen. You're in your jurisdiction. You know, we were out of our jurisdiction, Tom. You know, but you are within in the kingdom of God doing battle against the kingdom of darkness. You are in your jurisdiction. You know what? You know what? You know something else the Lord dropped in my spirit? Some of us are acting like, and no offense, please don't be offended by this. You know, I understand that constables, they do a good job and they have their job and they do what they have to do. You know, and it's an honest living. Thank God for them. Well, God said some of us are acting like constables when we're supposed to be U.S. Marshals. Because you know what the Spirit said? Constables, all they do is they go out, they serve divorce papers. Mostly. Things like that. But they don't arrest any murderers. They don't arrest those that are killing, stealing, and destroying. But you get something, you get a big need in, they pull in the U.S. If the U.S. Marshal comes in, it's heavy duty. So what? Some of you are carrying around your little constable badge. Bless God, I'm a Christian. But yet, all you're doing is causing divorces in the church. Spiritually speaking, I'm serving you with papers. I'm splitting you up from the body of Christ. Oh, that will preach. That will preach. It's time to realize who you are, and you're not about these petty things, amen, that just cause division in the church. It's time to realize that we're not to be attacking each other. Oh, come on. Sons and daughters bind together. Families bind together. I've got your back, and I'm not attacking you, but we're going to come together and attack the devil. I don't know about y'all's brothers, but mine stuck with me. All I had to do, Jill, was say, somebody's picking on me. They'd say, where is he at and who is he? I'm serious. They didn't mess around. They stuck together. You're talking about a band of brothers. If you fought one of us, you had to fight all of us. Amen? All right. I won't go into all that. Be strong in the Lord. Now, throw Matthew 28 up here, Jake. Y'all enjoying the word. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, somebody say it, all power. Come on, say it again. So again, this word should be translated authority. All authority, here's the transfer. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Keep going, Jay. So then he tells me, he says, go and baptize, teach all nations, observe whatsoever I do, baptize in the name of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there was a transfer here. Amen. Now, the authority, don't lose me here. I want you to get this. The authority has to be activated through the body. That's us. Say, that's us. In fact, this is going to mess with your religiosity. In fact, that's the only authority that he has on the earth. It's through his body. Come on now. Come on, Jesus, we need you to do it. He says, I already did it. Come on, Jesus, I did it. I'm here. I've sat down. The Bible says he ascended to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of God. We'll get there in a second. Where he ever lives to make intercession for us, that's where he's at. He came here. He done his job. He said, it's finished. I took care of it. Now, you are the only authority that he has in the earth. Oh, man, we got to get this. I'm going to tell you, listen, if we get this, it's going to make us. If we don't get it, it's going to break us. If we get this, we're going to go forward. If we don't get it, we're going to struggle, whether it's individually or corporately. I'm telling you, that's how adamant I am about this word. I know we ain't got nobody jumping on pews. I know I'm not running around and all these things, but I'm telling you, that's how adamant I am about this word. You are the only authority he has in the earth. Amen? His church. I'm going to prove it to you. Somebody say prove it. I'm going to. His body is the only power that Christ has. Now, what I tell you, he ascended back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of God. Do you understand? To sit at the right hand means power. It means authority. If you sit at the right hand. Come sit at my right hand. Amen? Come sit at my right hand. You know, and we talk about, you know, even like with kings, you know, the right hand is a place of authority. You know, when we talk about all these, I think it's 1 John 4:4 says that there's false prophets in the world and there's all these seducing spirits in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 4, I think it is. But anyway, it says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says, greater is in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Now, you know, the Bible says that Satan is, the Bible calls, here we get it. A lot of people say, well, I thought, you know, Satan was the god of this world. The Bible says that he is the prince and power of the air, and he is the god, little g, everybody say little g. He's the god of this world. But here's the key. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. Your citizenship's not here. When you became a Christian, your citizenship is in heaven. That's where you're a citizen. Do you understand? You're already a citizen of heaven. You're just here hanging out, waiting for the king to come back and take you to your residence. Amen. But you're already a citizen of heaven, so therefore you don't operate, although he's the God of this world, but you're in the world, but you're not of the world, so you don't operate under the world standards and the way the world operates. You bring kingdom principles into the kingdom of darkness, and you change your situation. I'm going to raise up some people. I'm on a mission. People's going to realize who they are, and things are going to change in their lives. Things are going to change in their marriages. Things are going to change in their home. It's going to transform your very life. It's going to transform this church. It's going to transform this region, and people are going to come to be changed. I'm speaking it. That's my vision. You know what my vision is? That's what it is. We're going to see this change in Jesus' name. We're not going to see people beat to death by a devil that really has no authority. Are you receiving it? All right, let's go. Daniel, get ready. I will get you to help me here in just a second. Are we all right? All right. Go back to our text, Jacob. I want you to see this. Verse 18. You got to see this. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Somebody say, open our eyes. That's your spirit. It's talking about your spirit. You got to get spirit revelation. And you may know what is the hope of his calling, whether the riches, the glory of his inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. It's what I'm talking about. It's what you get. You're a son, a daughter. Keep going. And what is the exceeding great of his power to us who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Oh, you got to get this. Keep going. A little bit more. I want you to read one verse. Far above all principality and power and might, meaning every name is named not on this world, but also in that which is to come. Are y'all with me? If you're with me, say amen. Keep going. One more. and has put all things under his feet. There's where I want to get you to. Now, people will say it's under the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the head. I said, Jesus is the head. You are the body. I said, Jesus is the head. You are the body. When he's referring to his feet, he's talking about you. I just jumped way ahead of myself. I said, when he's talking about his feet, he's talking about you. Jacob, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. All right, you gotta get this. Even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? The power of God, the proof of the power was the resurrection. But here's the key. You got to see this. When God raised up Jesus, he raised up you. Oh, y'all ain't get it. You ain't got it yet. See, what did it say? You're dead in sins, but it's like baptism. When you're baptized, it's symbolic of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. But you know what? When you come out, the old man's supposed to wash on away. But you're supposed to be a new man in Christ. Anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So you got to get this. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you. I said, when he raised him, he raised you. Somebody say, I receive it. This is not something, when he's talking about putting the enemy under his feet, this is not something he's going to do. This is something that he's already done. He's already done it. And what the Bible's saying here, he's raised us up together and caused us to sit together. You know, you got to understand, all powers from hell tried to defeat him, but he arose. He was raised, Judy, on the third day. So when he was raised, we were raised. And we were made to sit. Oh, let's go. We got to go. All powers have tried to defeat him, but he arose and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Give me some chairs. Come here and help me, guys. Give me four chairs. Give me four chairs. I should have already had these. I'm sorry, guys. Give me four chairs. I want to show you something. God wants us to know what happened. He set Christ above all powers. Put them right close together. All powers and dominions. Raising Jesus was the greatest display of God's power ever recorded. Thank God for the cross. I'm about to blow up. Thank God for the atonement. And thank God for the enemy being defeated. But a man that represented us overcame. Amen. But we can't leave Christ on the cross. We can't leave Christ on the cross. It's important for you to go to the cross. That's where, you know, it's important for you to go there, but you can't stay there. You gotta come up out of the ground. You gotta be resurrected. Amen. Is anybody with me? Because if we leave Christ on the cross, we don't get the power of the resurrection. Amen. That's the greatest display of God's power that's ever been recorded. I'm gonna tell you something. We have been made alive, we have been quickened, and the source of our power is in the resurrection. I said the source of our powers, and we've been raised up together with him. When he resurrected Jesus, he resurrected you. When God raised Jesus from the dead, and when we were dead, you got to get this. When the word speaks of the reviving of Christ, it also speaks of the reviving of the church. Bless God, we've got a risen Savior. Hallelujah, we've got a risen Savior, but we got a dead church. Jesus ascended to the Father, and we're still in the tomb. I said, we got to risen Savior. We got to understand what that means. I'm glad he's alive. Well, you know, he's saying, yeah, I'm alive, but you're not accessing what you have because I am alive. Is anybody with me? So, it also speaks of reviving the church. In fact, when God raised Christ from the dead, again, he also raised his body. Somebody say, that's us. So in the mind of God, when Jesus was raised, we were raised. I'm raising them all up together. Is that not what the word says? We're raised up together. Let's look at it again. Has raised us up together. We got to get revelation of this. And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he raised us together with Christ, so we are to do the works of Christ. Amen. Is anybody with me? What's the scripture say? 1 Corinthians 12. The body has many members. We're one body. We are the body of Christ. Somebody say, we are the body. Amen. He raised us up together and made us to sit together. You know what? Come here, I need some people to help me. Okay. Who's going to be God? You guys are going to argue like the, who's the greatest in the kingdom here? All right, you've been gone, man. We'll let you be God. Take God's seat. That one right there. Okay, you be the Holy Spirit. Other side. Okay, who's going to help me? Come on, Elder Rice. You can be Jesus. Okay, I want you to get this scene in heaven. There you go. I want you to get this scene. He's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places. And you got to understand that the right hand is a place of authority. Now I'm getting ready to show you why the devil hates you so bad. Because see, here's the deal. You know, I remember Jake, you remember we were at a UK basketball game once. And we had pretty good seats. We had pretty good seats, Tom. We're sitting there waiting for the game to start. And these people were sitting. They came and they sat down next to us. It was me, Jacob, and these other two people came and sat next to us. And then right before the game started, somebody walks in and looks at them and goes, excuse me, I think you're in our seats. And so these two people, they looked at each other and said, well, it was worth a try. So they had to get up. Jesus. So see, here's the thing. You have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Lucifer was a great creation of God and an archangel, and he was God's right hand man. Amen. But something happened because of pride, and he got booted out. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning and fell from heaven. That's quick. You're out of here, pal. You're gone. So he has no more authority. He brought his power into the earth. And the thing is that he's operating in a legal authority. Because even on the earth, God gave Adam dominion. And Satan comes in and tempts him. Now he's operating in illegal authority. But Christ came to take that authority back. And he transferred it, Matthew 28:18, to you. Now, see, here's the deal. Oh, we need a devil. Come on, Dwayne. Greg, come on, Greg. Yeah, we won't pick on Dwayne. We need a devil. All them teachers at Bell Central say, amen. I'm kidding. No, you can sit there. You see, when God... The scripture says when God raised Jesus, you know, you got to understand where your place is. You got to understand what your seat is. I remember back when the Bristol racing was real popular. Everybody remember when NASCAR was, it reached the peak of its popularity 10 or 12 years ago. And the Bristol race, they stood in line to get tickets. They had a waiting list they'd put 160,000 in that half mile track and another 25 or 30,000 in the parking lot. And they had a waiting list with thousands of people on it just to get season tickets. They told one about this guy. him and his wife have been season ticket holders for years. And they'd go every year to the race. And then his wife passed away. Well, he goes to the race, and the people, Chris, that normally sit around, you get to know those people, you know. And they looked at him and said, "Where's your wife?" He said, "She passed away." I said, "We're sorry to hear that." He said, "No, it's okay. We hate that they'd got to know her, and we're sorry to hear that." And then the guy looks back over and says, "Well, I'm just curious." I said, "You know, didn't somebody want to come with you? One of your family members? Your son, your daughter, whatever. Surely somebody wanted to come." He says, "No, they're all at the funeral." That's the attitude the church needs. Now, I'm not suggesting that's okay in the natural. But if something's going to be dead, let them, Jesus said, go let the dead bury the dead. I'm going to show up for my seat. I'm going to show up. This is something that I've been waiting for a long time, and I'm going to show up. But what I want you to get to here was he said we have been raised with him, and we can sit together with him. Everybody say together. Come on, say together. So see, here's the deal. See, when Jesus came and died, folks, what he said was, you know, "Excuse me there, devil, you're in my seat." Because let me show you something. I have a ticket, and this is my seat. You're sitting in my seat because the Bible says that he has raised us up together and caused us to sit together with him in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Y'all understand it? You got to get this. See, he raised us up and he caused us to sit with him. Therefore, we have authority in the earth because he's our connection to the Father. Come on, somebody needs to give him praise in this house. We're sitting together with him. I said, we're sitting together with him. You got my seat. You're not even loud up here. I have a lake prepared for you and your angels. Amen? You don't access this place anymore. That's why he hates you. Y'all ain't getting this, I don't think. That's why he hates you, because you have access. You know what the Lord said? You know, when we have access, when Jesus come and rent the temple veil and twain, he didn't talk about going into a tabernacle made by hands anymore. We have access into the Holy of Holies, into the throne room of God. Amen. And he's saying, you can sit with me. Amen. Is anybody with me? Come on, Daniel, help me. Help me finish this up. Don't these guys look good up here? Don't they look good? Come on. Do they look good? For we wrestle not. Everybody say wrestle not. Far above. Come on, say far above. We are seated. Far above. All principalities and powers. Because it's supposed to be. You know what he said? You know what he said? He said the angels were at his right hand. He said, "I'm going to make heaven my throne and earth my footstool." Amen? We are the body of Christ. Are you with me? Somebody say all power. And you know, the scripture in fact, I should have kept the devil up here just for a minute. You know, the scripture in fact is in Isaiah 14:16, it says that people will say, "Is this the one that deceived the nations?" Did I give you that verse, Jay? Look at it. I'm going to close here, I promise. We're done. Maybe I didn't give it to you. It says, "Is this the one that deceived the nation?" You know what, Judy, it's like that. How many's ever seen the movie The Wizard of Oz? You just got that guy in behind the curtain. And the lion's terrible. "Ooh, I, the great Oz." The lion runs down the hall and jumps out when he's scared to death. He's terrified. You know, the church, again, sometimes the church running from the devil. Amen. All of a sudden that curtain flies back and they see that. Justin, is that what we are afraid of? Come on now. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's a lie. Amen? Is this what we were afraid of? You are sons and daughters of the Most High. You don't have to be afraid of anything. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All authority. Everybody say all authority. Over all power of the enemy. Amen? Authority belongs to us. Jake, did you get that? Was you able to get that piece of paper on the overhead? Let's stand. Let's stand. Yeah, you guys can stand too. Thank you, guys. We're going to get this in you. We're going to get this in you. Do we have it? Put it up, Jake. I want you to repeat after me. We're going to start repeating this. We are seated. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority. I have been raised up together with Him. He has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. His authority is my authority. His name belongs to me. I am a son. I am a daughter. We are sitting with Him with the same authority. The authority is mine. Glory. Say it again. The authority is mine. We exercise the authority that was given to Him. It belongs to us through Him. And we carry out His work on the earth. We have been made to sit and are sitting far above all principality and over all might and dominion. Not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all powers, we are there too. We are there too. He has made us to sit together. I will exercise my rights as a son or daughter because I am a joint heir with Jesus and God is my Father. Amen. Somebody say we receive that. Take those papers. Take those papers. Come, Jill, come get us a song here, you guys. Take those papers. If you want to take it home with you, put it in your Bible. I want you to repeat it. Read it. We're going to get that revelation of who you are. Katie, you're a daughter. I said you're a daughter. Wow. You guys can grab these chairs, Bo, if you would, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that we have authority in you. You raised us up. When you raised up Jesus, you raised us up and caused us to sit together with Him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all dominion. Nothing can harm us. We are sons of the Most High. We thank you for that revelation. We receive it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. They're going to sing. If you want to come into the altar, let's come in and pray. Or if you want to pray at your seat, let's consummate the word this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, or you're we're so thankful for Michelle. Michelle came on Wednesday and renewed her relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And she's back this morning. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Yeah. So glad she's here. She came and prayed Wednesday. So if anybody wants to come, just renew that relationship. Or you've never been a Christian, we invite you to come and become a son or a daughter this morning. All right. Go ahead and sing.
more information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.